Today on the Pastor Study, our study is entitled, Satan Desires to Have You. Satan Desires to Have You. We want to begin in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22 today, Luke 22, in verse number 31. Probably a verse of Scripture that you're very familiar with, amen? Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. We see here in our verse today, our Lord tells the Apostle Peter that Satan desires to sift Peter as wheat. Now we know how the sifted wheat back then was, is they'd throw the wheat in the air and the chaff would be blown away by the wind. And of course the chaff was the refuse, the worthless matter, especially that which is light and apt to be driven by the wind. Have things changed much since then, since a time when our Lord was speaking to Peter? I believe not. Notice what the same Apostle Peter writes to believers. And I believe that Peter is writing this from his own personal experience. We read over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. The Apostle Peter warns us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may desire. Now, I believe that the sifting that the Lord was talking about to Peter was temptations. Through temptations, Satan would see whether Peter was really wheat or just a bunch of chaff. In other words, Satan was going to see what Peter was made out of. In other words, how strong his belief in trust in the Lord really was. In our study today, we're going to use Peter as our example, and we want to see how Satan tries to sift you and I as believers. The first avenue, I believe, that Satan tries to sift us or tempt us is self-confidence. Self-confidence. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew with me. In chapter number 26 of Matthew. Matthew 26. In verse number 33. Matthew 26. Verse number 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And of course, Peter was replying to what Jesus had to say in verses 31 and 32. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. We see that Peter here was self-confident, amen? And of course, God tells us in his word that pride goeth before destruction. That's right, pride goeth before destruction in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. And the Apostle Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, Paul wrote, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth taketh heed lest he fall. Amen. Self-confidence, what are we talking about? Self-confidence in our own ability, amen, is the first trap of Satan we fall into. Amen. Remember, it was the sin of pride, my dear friend, that caused Satan's fall from the throne room of God, from being the anointed cherub. Amen. The second way, or the second avenue, that Satan tries to sift you and I, or tempt us, is through neglect of prayer. Neglect of prayer. Look with me in Matthew chapter 26, again, in verses 40 and 41. And as we set up the scene here, we're in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before Christ was crucified. And we read, "And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The flesh is weak. Amen. Jesus had warned Peter and the disciples that they would be severely tested by his great enemy, amen, by Satan, and that they should strengthen their souls. How? Through prayer. You and I should be in a constant attitude of prayer with the Father because of the continual attacks of Satan. You see, neglecting prayer, my dear friend, results from self-confidence. Amen? Self-confidence. Again, thinking that you can do it on your own, that you don't need God, that you don't need the involvement of God. Amen? This neglecting prayer results from self-confidence. It is the second trap of Satan we often stumble into. Amen. Oh, how prayer is so vitally important, amen, to the Christian. Besides the other weapon of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, prayer is another offensive weapon. Amen. I read somewhere, someone once said that the devil trembles when he sees a saint of God on his knees, amen. That's right. So Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Oh, how we know as believers just how weak that wicked flesh of ours really is. From the moment that we get up, amen, in the morning, it's like a little baby. It wants to be pampered. It wants to be satisfied. Amen. Every minute, every second of every day, it's asking to be satisfied. Amen. Let's move on to the third way or avenue that Satan likes to sift us or tempt us, and that is indecision. Indecision. Look with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 with me, if you would. Luke 22. In Luke 22, we want to look at verse number 54. "But then they took him." It's talking about Jesus now. He's been taken and arrested. It says, Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. You see that? It says, "And Peter followed afar off." You see, he was indecisive, was he not? He didn't take a stand for Christ. A decisive stand for the Lord Jesus Christ is half the battle, my dear friends. Let people know who and what you are. Amen. You know, I recently came up against something very similar, just recently. As some of you may know, I work a full-time secular job, Monday through Friday, 40-hour work week or so. Amen. And just recently, I was asked at a retirement luncheon to give the invocation. And while I was waiting to go to the podium, the higher management person who's over me, he's over my boss and my boss's boss, amen, came up to me, and of course this man's parents were missionaries, or are missionaries, and he said to me, both my parents are ordained ministers, and of course that should have tipped me off to what was to come next. And he said to me, he said, I know usually when we end in prayer, we usually pray in the name of Jesus. But where you're in a crowd like this today, he said, you don't want to offend anyone. So when you close in prayer, you should say it in some kind of general term, amen. Although he said we're supposed to proclaim Christ. Well, let me tell you, when I got up there and I said that invocation and I said that prayer and I blessed the food, my dear friends, it was in Jesus' name and no other name. Amen and amen. Yeah, we need to make a decisive stand for Christ. We need to let people know, amen, who and what we are and where we stand as far as the Lord goes. You know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know a lot of Christians have that little plaque on their front door of their house. But it really comes down to it. I wonder how many really are serving the Lord. Amen. Especially when it means maybe losing something material. Maybe a job advancement. Amen. And of course, this man that tried to tell me how to pray, amen, controls whether I get promoted or not, amen. But I don't care. Jesus Christ, I'm not ashamed of him, my Lord and Savior, amen. He died and he shed his precious blood for me, and I want everyone to know it, how much he loved me and how much I love him, amen. As Christians, we are called to walk close to Christ, not at a distance, as Peter did. Satan likes to fill us with doubt and be indecisive about our commitment to Christ, does he not? Amen? Like he'll say, well, you don't want to offend anybody, amen? You don't want to use the name of Jesus in public, amen. You don't want to witness. You don't want to end your prayer, do you? Seriously, in the name of Jesus? My, you might offend somebody in the audience that may be Muhammad, a Muslim, amen, or someone who's a Buddhist, or someone who is a Jew, or some other religion, amen. That's what he likes to do. Satan, oh, he is in the game of getting us to doubt, to be indecisive for our commitment and our service to Jesus Christ. Number four, another avenue that Satan tries to sift us or tempt us is through evil company. Evil company. Look with me again in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 in verse number 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Peter sat down among them. Amen. What we see here, it was cold that night when they took Jesus. And they had made a fire, amen, to warm themselves. And we read that Peter sat down among them. Peter was warming himself among the very ones who had condemned Jesus Christ. My dear friend, the world today, right now, is still condemning Jesus. And many Christians comfort themselves with, in other words, they sit among the world. Amen. Satan likes to sift us with the lie that the world and the things of the world are not so bad. Amen. But what does the Apostle John want us? Amen. What does the Apostle John have to say about all of that? He reminds us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then finally he reminds us, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Satan likes to sift us, amen, by telling us, oh, the world isn't all that bad. Amen. He likes to whisper in our ear, you're being unloving if you don't join in with the crowd, if you're not part of the ecumenical movement. You're being narrow-minded if you don't partake in the promise keepers. Amen. Are in the so-called walks for Jesus and so forth and so on. Amen. No, Satan likes to tempt us, likes to sift us with evil company. Number five, another way or avenue that Satan likes to sift us or tempt us is through fear of people. Fear of people. Going back to Luke chapter 22, we want to read down through verses 56 through 60. Luke 22, verses 56 through 60. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, talking about Peter, and earnestly looked upon him. She studied him, studied his face, looked at him, and said, this man was also with him. She recognized him, that he was with Jesus. And look at what Peter said in verse 57. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. He denied that he knew Jesus. Then in verse 58, after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Again, Peter denied that he knew Christ. And then in verse 59, in about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Again, a third person recognizes that Peter was with Jesus, and notice what he says here. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. One of man's basic needs is to be accepted. All of us want to be accepted, amen? We want to be accepted by those around us. Many times at the cost of our testimony, we compromise in order to fit in. The Bible tells us very clearly, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Our call is to lead others to Christ, not to follow them away from Christ. God told Jeremiah this in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8. He said to Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. Amen. He's telling Jeremiah, don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid if they have a scowl on their face, or they look mean, or they look angry, or they look ornery. Amen. He goes on and he says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, in verse number 17, he tells Jeremiah, thou therefore gird up thy loins. See, first he says, don't be afraid of their faces. And he says, thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Amen. He's saying, don't fear man, fear me. Be not dismayed at their faces. Don't let them scare you. Don't be afraid of them. If you don't go and command and speak all that I command you to speak to them, then I will confound you. Amen. Before them. You know, I've heard it said, if you don't serve the devil kicks you. If you don't serve God, God will kick you. I tell you, I'd rather be kicked by the devil any day than kicked by God. Amen. Satan will use the fear of the man, the fear of man, to sift us as wheat. Amen? That's exactly it. The fear of man to tempt us. Amen? To tempt us, to sift us. The only one that you and I have to fear is, the Bible says, is the one that not only can take our life and destroy our body, but to cast our soul into hell. And only God can do that. Amen. So the only one that you and I have to fear, my dear friend, is God. We do not have to fear man. Amen. We saw what happened to Peter as he gave in to the fear of man. You know, earlier he said to Christ, he had was so full of self-confidence, he said, oh, I'll never deny you. Everybody else will leave you, but I won't. I'll go die with you, Lord. But look at him now. Because fear of man bringeth a snare. The devil will use the fear of man to tempt us, to sift us as wheat, as he did with Peter. See, Peter was afraid. He was recognized here by three different people. They recognized who Peter was. And so he became afraid. And he denied vehemently, amen, that he didn't know Christ. And of course, Christ had told Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. What happened to Peter, this man that was so full of self-confidence that he would never deny the Lord, but everybody else was? Look at what happened. Fear of man tripped him up. Satan used it to sift him as wheat. Amen. That's exactly what he did, my dear friend. So we've seen in our study today how Satan tries to sift us as wheat or tempt us. Number one, self-confidence. Number two, neglect of prayer. Number three, indecision. Number 4, evil company. Number 5, fear of people. These are just some of the ways Satan seeks to sift us and draw us away from Christ. My dear friends, don't be fooled by his deceptions. Amen. Draw near to God and stay there. Remember, James reminds us in James chapter 4, in verses 7 through 8, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Despite all the sifting that the Apostle Peter went through, he experienced victory over the devil, did he not? We see how mightily he was used at the day of Pentecost. Amen. Many souls were saved. Amen. We see him being used mightily as he goes and he preaches to Cornelius and his household, and they all get saved. Amen. We see him greatly used at the meeting there in Jerusalem when they were discussing how a man is saved. And Peter boldly said, a man is saved by grace through faith and no other way, Jew and Gentile alike. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9 how to resist the devil. He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. That's how we resist the devil, in the faith, by prayer and the word of God. The Apostle John reminds us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. That's how we're able to overcome the world, is through our faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord encourages us by his words when he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, in John chapter 16, verse 33. My dear friends listening today, we are closer now to his return than ever before. And as such, we must remain faithful and true to our Lord and Savior, our bridegroom, who returned for his bride for us someday, very soon. Well, my dear friends, that's all the time we have today on the Pastor's Study. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me. Meet again on the Pastor's Study. My prayer is that God, the Lord God, would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.